Welcome to Creating Cash Flows for September 8th, 2024. Sean is a cash flow cat. He's an artist. You have a big sell win. What's that? Tell us.
Well, l last session with you 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, the win then was that I finally booked some, primetime TV work after not booking for like 10 years. So I'm thinking I'm going in to do this one episode, one day, $1,200. It's turned into two more episodes, and there's such a mess over there, which I'm not complaining about, that episodes are crossing over. So I'm getting paid double for so many days. So this, I'm just giving numbers, not to brag, but because we're doing a financial thing, the $1,200 has turned into $25,000.
Yes, that's how we do it.
So it's just like, what? And I started doing, I really believe in the polish here, shine over there kind of thing. And I started doing the time blocking and just putting a lot of effort towards earning by other means, like sober companion or book narration, and really pushing my art as much as I could can. And some I've gotten into some art shows as a push, which was cool, which is another win. But other things are slow going, and that leads me into my question. Okay. I as an artist, I do have my website, and I am trying to build it so that I can sell prints passively. That's the goal. Most of where I've gotten is by my own research, picking up $1 million offer, whatever book people lead me to, and that kind of thing. There is an artist that she has a program, as she should. She's a business major. She's very successful at what she does. And the question for me is, I don't know if it's an investment, and I don't know if it's worth it. So it's like 9 months of, it's $2,500, 9 months, but she herself, giving us her own numbers, has just tried and tested program to just getting that passive income from prints. And it's everything from, working out what, more what my brand is, consulting completely on the website, on the pricing, and then all the offers, testing out different offers through different ad options. And the reason it's over the 9 months is because, I have to go through her course modules and learn all this stuff, which is good to know anyway. But also there's group, it's very much like Miata's thing. It's very much like this. Like, I'll go back to the group and be like, okay, I tried this offer out. I put it through Meta. It hit 100,000 people, but nothing happened. So maybe I try something else. And then anyway, I it's just anyway, it's just $2,500. So really, it's like, is the investment there? Is the investment worth it? That's really what it is.
But it sounds like it's not just $2,500 because if this is about Facebook ads, Meta ads, Instagram, it's about more money than that.
Yeah, which I would be in that. But I'm throwing money at Instagram ads already. Not a lot, but I mean, that's what that's. She calls it, you may know this, like she's creating a funnel. She's just, how to capture the new people, bring them in, and then get them down. She understands, I mean, this is all stuff you understand, I'm sure. So the goal is to build all that. So it's what's the word? Automated, and then just turns into the passive. So I'm already throwing money doing by, I'm trying Instagram ads here and there, and I threw money at a social media guy to help me sort of build followers, but I have great videos and people think I'm a wonderful storyteller, but I don't have any more followers or sales. So I'm trying things.
And this is specifically for artists, fine artists.
Yes, it is specific. She is an artist. It is specifically for artists with the website currently trying to sell prints passively. Like, it is, I am her market. I am her market.
And does she have testimonials on her website?
A bazillion. She's very good at that.
I would talk to some of those people. Those are the
Ooh.
people who are going to be able to answer your questions. And if you can't find them, contact her and say, can you please contact me with a few people who've recently taken your course? Because this stuff changes all the time too. Yeah, talk to them and say, where were you? What did you learn? Like, what were the, how did this impact? Just ask all the questions.
Okay. I can, you know, it's so funny. I did something similar to Miata. I reached out. I was like, can I just have like a 10-minute session just to see how you are? And she said yes and got on with me. She's like, nobody's ever asked me this before. I'm like, well, you're an investment. I want to make sure like I jive with you. So I'm sure I could ask this woman the same thing. Just be like, hey.
Absolutely. So ask her, and
Yeah.
then what I would do would is see if you can just go through her website and find, read the testimonials and see people who may be like, ooh, they might have been like similar to me,
Yeah.
and see if you can contact them independently. And if you can't get to anybody, ask her, can you
Okay.
send me contacts for three clients who would be willing to talk to me, three people who've taken the course?
Okay. I like that.
And then I think you'll have a better idea of whether that's, you know,
The right thing.
the
I
right
mean,
thing. It sounds good, like especially because it's specifically for fine artists.
I mean, if I can generate 2 to 5,000 a month of just passive income, it's like it's amazing. That's that was the goal. That's been the goal the whole last year as I've made the website and promoted and did all these things. But it's organic, as you know. It's trying to find what works and keep trying things. So I don't know. I'm really eager to have eyes on my website. Be like, what am I not doing here on the website? Or you know, the things like that. So, okay.
And another thing you can do is that, let's say one of the three people who took the course that you're talking to, you could also offer to pay them $100 to, using the knowledge they have, like review your website and give you feedback on your website,
Oh, that's
because
interesting.
then you might sort of see, like, oh, well, they really actually have some good pointers that I didn't
That's a great
know.
idea.
So
Yeah.
that's just another way to do
Okay.
it. Like, if you find somebody who's interested and willing to give you information, pay them $100 for an hour to just ask them all the questions you want. That's just a cheaper way to sort of see where you can get into, to see if you like the knowledge you're hearing, or if it's like, oh, I kind of already know this stuff already. I don't know.
That's kind of the worry
Thought.
that and just you know all these modules and all that, like I'm just like I don't know if I have not just the financial but I mean the time commitment to it. I don't know if I have the bandwidth to that. I just
Another thing you can do, because look, anybody who's running their own business, Miata, me, like, we make up the rules. We make up the rules. So you could always ask her, I'm not sure I have the time to go through this. Do you think that there would be stuff that you could teach me that I could implement right away if I pay you $1,000 for like
Yeah.
2 hours of just personalized guidance?
Yeah. I
She
love
may
that
not
so much more.
go for that. And she may legitimately say, you know what? The system I'm teaching you with all the Facebook stuff, it's so intricate that you actually do need to go through the models and there isn't a shortcut. But sometimes there might be. So just ask all the questions and then make the decision.
Okay.
And is this a class where you have, she's live for Q&As, or is it all?
She does. Yeah, I can't remember if she does that once a month or one, every other week, something like that. So she's available, and she has a staff like Miata does that are available. So the point is exactly like Miata. It's like they're always available for whatever questions, whatever things that kind of, you know. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's great that you found that, though. It's exciting.
I don't know
Okay.
how she found me on social media, Instagram, you know, the things that just pop up. It read me. Yeah.
That's called marketing.
Exactly right.
And congratulations on the job that turned into more jobs. It's a testament that they like you and wanted to keep you around to keep doing it. So, yay.
Thank
Just one
you.
of those happy accident things that happens.
It's
Keeps his business interesting, I tell you.
yeah, thank
Liana,
you.
you're welcome. Hi, Kate. Liana, are you here? I see your name.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Hello. All right, Liana.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as
Online
well.
tutoring services, math and Spanish for high school and college students, occasionally adult students like lawyers, medical students, actors who want to improve their fluency in Spanish. That's your
Yeah,
biz.
but it's very, that happens. I get maybe one of those a year. Right now I don't have any. And that's fine. I'm not
Oh, the adults,
my
you mean?
the adult, that's very sporadic. My the bulk is college and high school students.
And you say you're a,
And I'm a cat. I was looking over the road map again.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable being a cat. I mean, the
That's okay.
business, I've been doing it for quite a while now. It's on average, because it's seasonal, it's throughout the school year. It's going to start picking up in the fall after to get the first quarter grades. I always make a little bit less than 10 grand a year. So it's not that it, but I'm definitely, I think I'm more comfortable in the cat because I don't even have a website. I have a
Oh,
link. I have a link where they send and they book me.
that's all you need. Hey, just the link that where people pay you money truly is all that you need. So you being a cash flow cat versus a tiger isn't even necessarily about the fancy stuff, the website, the bells and whistles. No, it's like, do you have a steady income? You know, have you earned this much in your business? Because you wouldn't have earned that much if you didn't have the ability to get clients and the ability to serve them. And you get a lot of like positive feedback. In fact, one of your questions is they, your clients keep returning, they recommend to their friends. It's like everybody's happy, but you're providing the service for sometimes like rich people, and you're like, why won't they give me testimonials? Or they will, but they want to be anonymous.
Correct.
Fine. Every testimonial on my caregiver website is anonymous because sometimes people don't necessarily want to be identified or let people know that they have this other thing going on in their life. And I just chose to make all of those testimonials anonymous so people could speak freely about this. So I don't think that it's a deal. If you wanted visually on your website, you could make a fine little like there's programs AI to make little avatars of, you know, female little different little cartoons of clients and just put those up with the testimonials.
One thing that they will be okay with, because I ask, is they will be okay saying student of the school where they go to,
Great.
and I could get the logos. I mean, those are public, so I could
Yeah,
get
do
the
that.
logos, you
Love it.
know.
Yeah.
So that will be just suggestion, and don't push it again, you know, if they don't want to put their picture, they don't want to put their names.
Yeah, no, don't. Just, and I would do them all the same. Even if some people will give you their name, I would just do it student of blah, blah, blah. You're not in the type of business where people are going to be like, I bet those testimonials are fake. Like, your business is so word of mouth anyway that I don't think that's going to be a barrier. And people don't necessarily, some people do, but they don't necessarily read the testimonials. They just like to see that they're there. The small, happy people, because people know you're not going to put up the bad stuff, you know, the unhappy clients. So yeah, so just throw them up there, do the school logo. It's going to be great. That's what I would do. Okay. So you currently, when we're talking about like the sessions and how you charge, you do, if you're doing just kind of Spanish, basic math, $70 an hour. If you're doing higher level honors, AP, college, $90 an hour. With an option to add $15 per hour if another student in the same class wants to attend. So you would do two people for just $15 extra. Love that option. So you're talking about packages.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the way I normally this and this, I haven't raised my rates. I always get nervous about raising my rates. I haven't raised my rates since 2022, because pre-pandemic, I was doing a mixture of online and in person with students that were in my vicinity. After the pandemic, went online full time and decided to keep it that way because it's easier for them and it was easier for me
Yeah.
to schedule us. I could, and then I could also, I start picking up students in the East Coast too, like not even in California.
Yeah.
So yeah, 2022, I think those were the rates, and I haven't touched them. To be honest, they don't, nobody sweats it. No, nobody's asking me. I even had a couple of new students last year, and they were new, and they booked the session, and then they were like, "Oh, you know what? We forgot we had another tutor scheduled the same time, and there's a 24-hour policy cancellation." They didn't even sweat it, like paying me and not. So I think I probably won't raise my rates again till next semester, which is normally when tutoring goes up because it's the end of the semester and they're getting worried about finals, et cetera, or AP tests. But what happens usually is this. I get a new student or a returning student from last school year, and the smart ones, they're like, "Listen, they book me every week. They book me every week because they know it just makes their life easier not to be cramming." There's a few ones that are like, "We just do it when there's something is very challenging," and then they just said, but again, it's pretty consistent. And then I have the few ones that is last minute and literally like the day of, "Do you have any availability today?" And I'm really trying to avoid that. And the way I set it up is I have my availability on Square for the week. And when after, we talk on the phone, et cetera, I send them that link and they can go in and then they can book whenever they want between that availability. Because being college students, high school students, they have a lot of stuff, other stuff going on. That way they book it when they want to. What works for them, we avoid all the back and forward of like, does this time works for you, et cetera. And they pay. And they can change it or cancel it as long as it's 24-hour notice. But sometimes I don't know from week to week what my schedule, I mean, that's why I set my availability at times that there won't be conflicts with something else. But I don't have, like, I even look at the stats because Squares give you stats of your bookings. So it's hard to predict what's it going to be. And I know that after October something, November is going to go up. I know that my bigger sales are always March, April, because it's the end of the school year. But it will be, I'm just trying to figure out what ways I can make my job a little easier or make more money.
And when you say make your job a little easier, what's the part that's not easy?
To be honest, I set it up like most of the levels that I teach, it's things that I know the curriculum inside out. Like I've been doing it for so long that I know it inside out, so I don't have to do a lot of prep. I just might, ideally, I haven't gotten to on a consistent basis hit the numbers. I would like to tutor 10 to 15 hours a week. Steadily, if possible. Yeah. And down the line, very down the line, because I don't have a lot of time for it, maybe create some kind of things like maybe study materials or, assessments that they can practice with that maybe I can tell, because a lot of them I do that for them anyway, like, because I've done it before. Like, "Hey, well, if you want to practice more on this concept, here's some extra sheets on this." But I was thinking if I create those to my recurring students, I could like, well, you can have like a very, very minimal subscription base and they could have access to those throughout the month. They're, Because it's always every single school year, it's always the same kind of topics that give everybody problems.
So I think that whole like a subscription thing, or just they pay you an extra amount of money and they get all the supplementary materials. You do it, and there's many different ways to do that. I like the way your brain is thinking of like, let me leverage all this work I've already done, you know? So as far as, so more money is going to come in two ways. Packaging up your stuff, well, three ways. Packaging up, raising your rates, and then getting more
More
clients.
stew, yeah.
Yeah, getting more students, getting a few more funnel sources that can deliver you students. So one of the things I would do is I would have on your whatever page you have where people can like pay and, you know, schedule a separate little section that says, if this is a last minute emergency appointment, click. And that button just generates an email with a subject line that says emergency booking. And you charge, you state like, here's the price for that. It's $100 a session or whatever. But it has to be, that is your most expensive session because you're rearranging your life to accommodate them. That way, if you do it, at least you're getting, you know, bonus pay for it.
And then that will make them next time they book it, you know, ahead of time,
You would
not last
hope,
minute.
or they'll just keep shelling out money if they have it. Like, who cares? And you, if you want to accommodate those kinds of bookings, not everybody does. Some people are like, no, I'm not delivering babies. I don't need to be, you know, worrying about this. But if you do accommodate last minute stuff, charge more for it because you're going to have to go back and forth and find a time, and then and you're rearranging stuff to fit them in. So let's say $100, no matter what level. Why do you go,
Because I don't know. I'm just not. I have paid $100 for other stuff. I haven't charged $100 an hour for stuff that I pay for.
You're uncomfortable with it. Okay, let's just know you're, that's fine. Every time I raise my price, I'm uncomfortable with it. You're not used to it yet. At some point in your life, you are not used to $90 an hour.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
what
now
was
I
the
am.
price for those? Right, what were the price for those AP tutorings when you first opened your
When
door?
I first started, it was first I started at $50 an hour,
Yeah,
everybody.
exactly. Okay,
Then it
so
went 60, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it gradually 80. I think 80 was 80 for the last before the 90 rate, it was 80.
at some point when you were charging $50, if I came along and was like, let's charge 90, you'd be like, can't do it. And now you're like, 90, it's my rate. You will get comfortable, just like you did before. These are emergency sessions. You're rearranging your life for them so that they, and they have the money. Their problem isn't money. Their problem is Spanish, not money. Your problem is money, not Spanish. And that's why it's a win-win situation. My second suggestion would be that why don't you sell packages of like five sessions at a time, six sessions, or packages of 10, and then have single sessions?
To be honest, I don't, I will have to look into Square. Before I was doing it all manually, before I transitioned into Square about a year and a half ago, and I couldn't figure out a way that, because I want them to have the flexibility to book it when they want to, within my availability. and I couldn't figure out a way if they bought a package
Right.
for them to do it. So the way it had the way I did it was they will need to they buy the package ahead of time. I did this for students that the parent asked me, like, hey, listen, this rate is a little high for me. I'm a single parent. My kid is going, you know. So I gave them the old rate. So what I did is like, okay, if you buy five sessions at a time, I was charging them $60 an hour, but they will pay me via PayPal.
Okay.
And then I gave them a link where they could, you know, they could book whenever they want to, up to five sessions. So no, they wouldn't be charged basically when they booked it. They wouldn't be charged because they pay ahead of time in PayPal. But it was cheaper.
Right.
So my current students don't give a crap about discounts. They just want convenience.
Right.
So.
Right. And what are you going to raise your rates to when the new
I haven't decided. I was going to keep them as is for the beginning of the school year
I
because I
understand that.
haven't.
But when
Yeah.
you raise
So
them.
what I was thinking of, because that's what I did the last time I raised my rate, is do a little bit of market research and see what's the current rate for somebody my level for those classes. And try to price myself not below it or not super above it. It's difficult to find individual tutors like me, but there are tutoring companies, and they by far the last time I charged, I mean last time I researched, they had packages too, and the rates were about $10 to $20 more than what I was charging at the time. So that's what I was thinking of doing. At the top of my head, because I don't know yet, I haven't done the market research, I was just thinking of going $5 up on each of those rates.
Sure.
Yeah.
You want to go up so that your single sessions
Yeah.
are at like the higher rate, and then your package sessions are at your current rate. Like your so 10 or 5 or however many sessions would be 70 times 10, so $700 or times 5. So, the thing about packages is it gets you a chunk of money at a time. And then it's the students who are then in charge of actually using up the sessions. I would encourage you to look at, I mean, so, okay, if you want to do 10, you'd like to do like 10 to 15 hours a week, kind of in your busy seasons, right?
On my busy seasons, I actually open up another day because it's like I get busy. So I usually tutor right now, Monday through Thursday. And I put from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, whenever, you know. But I don't
So,
get busy. I don't get booked out at that time. And then during my busy seasons, I usually open up Friday, I mean Sundays afternoon. For
yeah.
my very special students, and this is students that, like, I have worked for them for years. I have a Columbia student, for example, that I worked for him in high school. Now he's in Columbia. So he's in the East Coast. So there were a couple of times that we work outside of those, but I will make an exception for him, and I
Yeah.
will open up the time. Yeah.
I want you to look at paperbell.com.
Paper bell.
Paperbell.com. I use it, and it's the best. It's set up for exactly for what you do for coaches. And the great thing about it, you have to get a Stripe account. That's the payment processing is all through Stripe. And then Paperbell is the scheduling and payment, but it will let you easily make packages. Like you can buy a single session, you can buy 10 sessions, you can offer payment plans. If they don't want to pay the chunk up front, you can break it into two, you can break it into three. And you re read the section in the Creating Cash Flow course about pricing and packaging, because I talk about front loading, I talk about how I break up my payment plans. It's a very smart way to do it.
Okay.
But you want to consider the cost of Paperbell, which is like a monthly. I think they do like annually or monthly, but try it out for months before you switch to the annual. Always do
Okay.
that. Always try something out for a bit before you do the annual.
Okay.
But think of that cost as an assistant. Instead of
Okay.
paying someone or having you do all of this scheduling, you're paying Paperbell to be your assistant
Okay.
scheduling. But I think that something that will boost your income is packages, raising your rates a little bit, offering payment plans if you want to. So the payment plans instead of a discount. Instead of discounting your rates, you say, fine, you can just break the payments up. And it goes all the way through paying them, scheduling them. They can move and cancel and reschedule appointments. You're not doing any of that. Plus, you set up little automatic reminders. So they're like, here's the link. Here's your sessions in 2 hours. Like all of that lovely stuff. You can set up as many reminders as you want because I know you work with kids. So it's like even more.
Yeah, the current system that I have does send in text and email reminders, so it does help.
So just compare, but it sounds like Paperbell could offer you a few more things. And if you wanted, like, it's pretty simple and intuitive to set up. But Kate, for the Ask Kate, you could pay Kate, my assistant, to like give you, set do a session to help you set up if you needed that help. I don't think you would, but Kate knows how to use that system. So I think that those implementing those things in your business, because what that does is it sets up this structure and then you go out and find more people to send you clients. And then they just go right through your system. And then you're really booking more people in the hours that you want every week.
Can I just ask one follow-up question regarding the package? So one of the other things, I didn't put it in my price structure. I usually do a 1 hour minimum, but I do have half an hour for those two levels in case the student needs a longer session. And it's very basic. So half an hour of a $90 session is $45. Sorry. So it doesn't happen that often, but it just recently happened that one of my recurring students, he's an AP student. He probably feel like I don't need the whole hour. So he didn't book the hour. He just booked the half an hour. So should I just leave it as that and not don't sweat it? Just in
Just
as
keep offering half
well,
hours? Is that
no,
your
because I
question?
don't mind having the half an hour as an add-on. But just having a half an hour session sometimes is just it chunks that hour for half an hour and prevents another student that might have wanted, let's say 7 to 8, and if somebody takes 7 to 7:30, I don't know. I guess just keep it as is for now. It will be nice to have something that says 1 hour minimum, but you can add in increments of half an hour.
Yeah, I would do 1 hour minimum. There's always something you can review with them. There's always something you could do. And if you end early, that's just a bonus for them. They get their time back. They get 20 minutes to go study something else. You
Okay.
have to, I'm a, I, you don't have to do anything. That's black and white language. I recommend you set up your business for you, the way you want it to run, and then you go find the clients who want to work with that structure instead of
Got
trying to be whatever anybody wants.
Yeah, because at the beginning, it's been a learning curve. Because at the beginning, I did not have very robust cancellation policies, etc.
We
And
all start that way.
even last year, a couple of my recurrent students that I just, you develop a relationship with them, you really like them. There was a couple of times that they were like, "Hey, listen, I'm not going to need the whole hour." And I will always offer to like, "Well, we can save that half an hour for next time if you need extra. If I don't have another student afterwards, we can have it." But then I stopped doing it because it became a, they were like, "Hey, can I
Of
have that
course.
half an hour now? Just, on a Sunday." And I was like,
Yeah.
"So, but I'm still working on being comfortable with Like if they pay for the whole time, I feel like I should give them the whole time.
One thing you can do that I started to do, and this is in the pricing section, I believe, or the cash section of the cash flow course, is using the phrase up to. Our session is up to 60 minutes. Could be less, but it's up to 60 minutes. And it is better. This is for everybody. It is more profitable to learn to deal with your own feelings and discomfort than to do things where it's like, oh, I don't want to feel uncomfortable, so I'll give them the extra time. I used to do that too, by the way. This is a learning curve. There's nothing wrong with being like, oh my God, I get so weird and guilty, and then I want to help them, so I'll have them do the extra. And then it's okay to do that. And it's okay to come to a time in your life where you're like, yeah, I'm over that. I'm over it. You're just over it. Your business is maturing. You have a reputation. You know how to do this. And it's totally okay to shift your policies. And it's okay to go to your lovely, wonderful, wonderful clients and be like, you know, this thing we do, or the half hour, the thing. Yeah, that's I'm stopping that in at the end of the year or whatever. Like, you can tell people you're stopping certain policies. You can also keep three clients who you let that happen with until they run their course, you know, and then they're gone, and then nobody's like that. It's up to you. But I don't want you making businesses decisions about your money to avoid feeling something. I would rather you deal with your feelings so then you can get the money. The
Got it.
only reason you're teaching Spanish is to earn money. You're not doing anybody
Dor
a favor. I mean, if someone gave you all this money and said, oh, we'll just give you the cash, you can do whatever you want with your time, you wouldn't be like, oh, I'll just teach Spanish. No, you're doing this for cash, right? Yeah. What's the other stuff you like to do in your life? Do you have a second career? Are you an artist or?
I'm an actor, and
Okay. So that is what this is powering. This is supporting and subsidizing the acting career, the stuff you really want to do. So if someone doesn't want to pay you $100 to rearrange your life to give them a Spanish lesson at the last minute, you're like, fine, don't. I'll just go spend my time on my own stuff. They're paying you to take your attention off your life and put it on their life. That's what a service business is. Take your attention off your life and put it on my life. And that costs money. Otherwise, you're just going to pay attention to your own life.
Makes sense.
Good stuff. Okay.
In terms of
I have
next
to move
steps.
on, though. I'm going to
Oh,
move
I'm
on,
sorry.
but we'll come back around if we have some more time. But I've got
No,
two other.
I have the answer to my question. I'm just trying to think what will be the next thing I should do then. If work on the website, I think it's work on the
You
website.
have a business without a website. Work on the payment stuff, PaperBell, deciding if you want PaperBell, first of all, and if you do, set it up and get that in place. And then go, who has sent me clients before? What type of person? Do you get them from teachers? Do you get them from, like, where do your clients come from? This school sends me a lot. Okay, great. Go to another school. Who do I need to know at that school to send me more people? Like, get more clients.
Gotcha.
Third website, payment structure, more client, more funnel people. Reach out, reach out, reach out, reach out, reach out. And then, you know, from now until the end of the year, spend an hour or two a month on the website if you want. Yeah, so that would be the order. Cora is a user experience.
Hi. Hi,
Hi,
yes.
a
Let
user
me.
experience designer, a software developer, and a software pitch consultant developer. Love it. You help developers create their pitch content and fundraising. And okay, I love, congratulations for having all those people signed up for your tech.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
That's huge. So I'm going to read this and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
I've decided to focus my energy solely on building my freelance business as a user experience developer software pitch coordinator. This coming Tuesday, September 10th, I have over 90 people in the LA tech industry coming to a tech happy hour that you're hosting. You've identified their problems. Their problem is they likely have a web page that they want to develop, but don't have the skills to design it and develop it, and they have a limited budget. They also have no idea how to create content to pitch to venture capitalists. So either they need a pitch deck, executive summaries, a short video demo. So that's what your people need. Your question is, oh, I'm extremely overwhelmed on where to pick up with the course and what's the most important thing to have ready for Tuesday. You have a website and you were making changes to it. You felt it was a little more steak than sizzle. And your brain is like, oh, you haven't finished the Creative Cash Flow course. You're not ready. You don't have an elevator pitch. You're all over the place. You don't have time. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. I totally understand that. Okay. What are you hoping to you will get out of Tuesday? Do you have, are you pitching them something? Like, what is the deal with?
Yeah, so I have a lot of creative, like I have a lot of like the person who invited me to host, he was like, I want you to get out of this what just as much as you're giving. He's like, I know you're giving a lot, so I want you to get what you need. So what do you need? And I was like, I need clients. Paying clients, paying my rate clients, so people who can afford $60 an hour, which is actually very low for what I do. But I am a junior engineer, so that is pretty standard. Pretty much, it's standard that I would be 40 to 60, but because I'm providing two things for the price of one, I do take the higher rate. And they would be literally my second client, whoever I get at this Tuesday. But that's really my goal. I also have a lot of freedom. He was like, you can bring papers or cards. I can bring like pamphlets about my work and what I do. I have reign to follow up with everybody and be like, hey, do you or anybody you know need this? I also have the reign to be like, hi, like give my pitch. Like even to the entire group, if I want to, I can literally like stop it and be like, hi, I'm Cora. If you need to like introduce myself and be like, this is what I do. If you need anything or you know anybody that needs anything, please, I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for being here. Like I have every right to do any of that and all of that. And which is nice that I have that ability. And it's not like, oh no, don't talk about your business. It's like, actually, please talk about your business, get what you need from this community. Because you're putting in the work of hosting it. And thank you. My goal, what I've told myself is I was like, I need one ideal client. That's it. Because from there I can build. And obviously more, like I could handle three at one time, but I've told myself as like one client and I will be good. And out of that many people, I feel like it's there.
Okay,
So,
great. Who tell me your ideal client?
number one, can afford my rate, 60, not the person who's like, oh yeah, but we don't really have any money. So like,
Yeah, of
can you do
course.
some stuff for free? And it's like, no, or equity, like that bullshit in this industry is hilarious to me. Very, also in the health or in like the health sector, definitely a front end website. I personally don't quite have the skills to build both a front end and a back end website. I could certainly give it I could do a small back end, but a very intricate, like a whole store back end would be beyond my abilities. It's ideally it's somebody who's really like a health website or an artist website or who also is wanting all of the things, like does want somebody who's gonna do the whole design research. Like, so I would be testing the website on actual users and then making adjustments from there. So like both needing a designer and a developer would be nice. I'm trying to remember what it, the definition of your ideal client. Yeah, a
Well,
very like business, like has a business.
yeah. So tell me, what is the difference? Because I don't know, between a designer and a developer. What does a
Sure.
developer of a website do?
So developer is the one who builds what the designer has made.
Okay.
D designers are more like, oh, this is what it's going to look
Gonna
like.
look like.
Developers can do that and do that, but a lot of times there's a designer who does that and then there's a developer who builds. Many
Okay.
people are very confused by it. Like a lot of people are very confused by it and who aren't in the business, but most people know the difference in my business.
And why should someone use you? Why do your clients need to use you versus Squarespace?
For me, number one, I think is that they're building an expense that they don't need. You have a monthly payment. I can literally build you the site you need, and you'll never have to pay ever again. Like I can put it up on a free deployment, no problem, and they never have to pay again. And then on top of it, how did I describe this? There's so many limits to those sites. And whereas there are a lot of less limits when I'm
Yeah.
building.
Can you tell me the three limitations of those kind of out-of-box website platforms that clients that you want to have would run into? Like, you're going to run into this, you're going to run into this, you're going to run into this if you use these.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing would be their like header is gonna look just like everybody else's. Their so just like the even just the top of their site is gonna look just like everybody else's. Granted, there's a standard, but the way it there's a I can change and in like involve their business in such a different way, so it can be unique to them. Instead of cookie cutter, this is how it's going to look because this is the only option. And also how the website flows. I could do things like make it animated and like if you click something, it'll go to a different section of the website. Like it'll like it's called a framer, so it like motions to the other part of the website. Instead of like this is the direction that you have to go and you don't have any other options. I can animate it so that it's more the flow that they want or the look that they want.
Okay.
And then the other thing, oh goodness, I'm down to 10%. The other thing is, I'm trying to think, incorporating like how do I like visuals in terms of like if I wanted the whole website to be a picture that you can click on to click into the website or it just it's very I can layer it way different and more intricate than others. So yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Is there more money in making a website or making pitch materials for people who are raising money?
Making a website, way more money. The pitch materials, I definitely will admit, was more of a like, I can do this for them if they need me to do this, and it'll be a little extra money. So like, and it is something that I have the skill in, which is I can be the voiceover. A lot of software engineers that I meet and tech people in general are like, absolutely not. I don't want to do anything that involves the front face of this, and I don't even know how. So that was more of a me being like, well, I have a skill, so.
Okay, so there's more money in the website. Where's the bigger headache? The website or the pitch materials?
Both. just because they involve the same issues, which is this is the design. Oh, that doesn't fit what you were thinking. Okay, well, let's go back. What are you, were you, let me please explain what you were thinking in more detail. Okay, do you like this? The same back and forth.
Yeah, a lot of
So,
iteration.
yeah.
Do you think that people are more motivated to buy the pitch materials because they're like, we are raising money, and so we need these materials to look spectacular?
Yes. The thing is, a lot of people I know just don't even have the thing built to even do that yet.
Okay.
So at least
So,
the people I've met in this community, they don't even have that, like they have a lot of ideas, but not the thing built yet.
the people that are coming to this tech event don't have websites?
A lot of them do. It's like a combination. They have websites, but they also have a lot of ideas of things to build, and they haven't done it yet. So there probably are some. I did actually meet some people who already have the thing and they're looking to raise more money. So,
Okay. I'm just exploring because
yeah, totally. I get it.
here's the biggest thing. I want you to find three ideal clients from this
I
thing.
like it. Yes.
Even if only half the people come, which you should be prepared for, because it.
Oh, that is the number I gave you is the half.
Oh, great. Oh, wow. Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
I want you to get three ideal clients, but in order to do that, you cannot speak about, hey, people, who out there needs a website? Nobody wants to pay for a website. Nobody wants to pay for pitch materials. Nobody wants to pay for anything you do. They want
Right.
to solve a problem. They don't want
Right.
a website. I have a website. I don't want to have a website. I want to have clients. And in order to get clients, I need to have a website.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I have the website.
You're right.
And I only got the website when I realized I wanted to, grow the business to another level. And so I needed the web. Every time I change the website, isn't because I'm excited about changing the website. It's like, this is going to help me
No.
get the next thing I want. So
Yeah.
you have to on your own website, but most importantly, when you are going around, whatever you pass out, it's like, do you have this problem? Or do you have this problem? Or do you have this problem? That's what your brand should be. And you have to talk to them in terms of the pain. So this ideal client is coming to this tech event because they're trying to get something off the ground. They're trying to, they want to meet people. So either it's like, are you concerned that the website you have right now is just not working for you? Or do you have this great idea, but nowhere for people to see it yet?
Right.
Let me help you create those materials. Like, are you trying to raise money and need to
Yeah.
need materials that show you're great? Like, if these people all have like a great idea or a business they're trying to get off the ground, you have to address them at the pain of like, I can't get off the ground.
Yeah.
Okay,
Right.
well, so either their web they have a website and it's not working for them
Yeah.
in the way that they think it should be. I think with websites, there's three problems. Someone feels, oh, this is just not, I don't know. They said, get a website, and I got a website and I did
Right.
nothing. The second thing is like, ah, I have a website, but tech, I'm trying to do this thing myself, or my sister said she'd help me, and like we're trying, but it's like sucking our life away.
Yep.
Or I don't have a website. And
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just another thing on my to-do list. Is your website another thing on your to-do list? Is it gathering dust there? Have you kept moving it from list to list to list? You're just not like, that's the pain. Did I lose you? You froze. I just want to make sure you can hear me. Cora. I lost her. Okay, we will come back. But everyone listening, this is the difference between the sizzle and the steak. The sizzle is about the pain. The sizzle is about, I'm going to make this transformation. I'm going to help you with this. The steak is like how you do it. Sheila, are you here? Sheila, Sheila, Sheila. No. Ingrid. Hello. I see your hand up. Oh, hi, Sheila. Okay, Ingrid, hold on. Hold your horses. We'll get to you. Hi, Sheila.
Hello.
Okay, hi. Let's talk to you and then Cora will come back to us, I'm sure. So you have two parallel vocations, working in the theater performing arts and working in herbal medicine. And your theater, managing the theater is sort of like where the rent money comes from, right? And then the herbal business, which you have established, but you want to kind of get it back up to where it was kind of pre-pandemic, right? Okay. So the first question you asked, you had listened to the crowdfunding mastery conversation and you wanted to do a fundraising campaign. I'm going to ask you a few questions so I can orient myself. What do you want to fundraise for?
I bought a house, and I want to establish the house as the workspace for the herbal medicine work.
Okay. So it's kind of like your herbal medicine office space. So you want to raise money for your business space. And how might that be appealing for the audience that you have to, what would inspire them to donate to that cause?
That's my mindset question, I think. Getting the herbal medicine business up off the ground has just run into one obstacle after another after another, and it has never fully grown into the vision that I have for it. And I think this is the path to realize that vision, setting it up in my home.
And is there stuff you can do with the herbal medicine business outside of the home space? I don't
I
know.
teach online for a correspondence school, and I've been doing that for quite some time. That I can do outside of the home. And that's about it.
And you can't serve clients. You have to serve them in person.
I can do appointment consultations remotely online, but I need the
Okay.
workspace to actually compound formulas.
Okay, because you're creating stuff that then people use. Okay. And the thing about crowdfunding, the reason it's called crowdfunding, and maybe this was covered, but the thing about, and this is for everybody, the thing about crowdfunding and why Kickstarter was born, it was because people had audiences and Kickstarter was like, hey, let us help you monetize your audience. Let us help your odd, let's put a platform so that your audience who already love you can, buy your CD or whatever. Kind of like that, or fund your next album. So you have the money to do the album, and everybody pays a little bit, and then they get the album. That was the original kind of like thing. And so what's implied is the crowd. So my first question to you is, do you have enough people in your orbit that would be willing and able and inspired to give you money to set up this space? Because I would hate for you to go, because it's work to do a campaign, and I would hate for you to go through all that effort and not have a big enough pool of people.
That is a good question. There is a pool. Is it big enough? I'm not sure.
And the other thing is that the links that you sent me were for registry services, like wedding registries, where it's like, we'd like this item or this much money towards this thing, versus raising just an amount of money. And what draws you towards the registry versus the sites where you're raising an amount of money for whatever?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I had looked at cash registries. That's what I was, those are the links that I sent you were for a few different cash registries. And they are like an offshoot of wedding registries. And that's, I'm not sure if that's the right direction as opposed to Kickstarter.
Well, usually the Kickstarter, and I'm talking like GoFundMe, Kickstarter, Seed and Spark, like there's a lot of different, there's other ones too. Usually people are used to that format of GoFundMe aside, because that's usually like medical stuff. But usually these platforms, it's like, hey, we're raising money to do this thing, and then your donation, you'll get this thing from it. People get little rewards, or they get the actual product. They're like, they're just paying for the product in advance and then getting the product. So it's like there's something people get in return, even if it's just a sticker or whatever, but there's like gifts. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying that's what those platforms have trained people to do. Whereas a gift registry is like, buy me this, give me some cash, and I'm going to put it towards this thing I need to buy. But gift registries, isn't it sort of implied there's a reason to give you the gift?
So I think this is helping me clarify. I think it is two different things. One is the business and one is personal. And hypothetically, there's an area where each and both are appropriate, I think. So it is possible that the crowdfunding is more appropriate for helping me to relaunch my business. And it is possible that a cash registry is more appropriate for like my personal family to just support me for my first home.
Yeah, so it's sort of like I'm having a virtual housewarming, and if you would love to bless me with a gift, here's what I want. These are the things. Put your cash money over here. Sure. It does seem that those cash registry services are more for people you have a personal connection with versus sending it out to your like list, your client list, where on the business side of things, it could be like you can pay in advance for something and you get the cash up front, and then you have to deliver the service, or you have, it's sort of like you have to figure out how what they're going to get for that. But asking your business contacts for a gift of cash when they don't get anything for it is unusual. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just wondering how that will land with people.
No, that makes sense. I really was thinking more personally and having a hard time in distinguishing. So this is helping me define those different boundaries.
Yeah. For example, Ingrid up here in the square is my voice coach. And I have coached with Ingrid. We spent like 6 months together. It was great. She's fabulous. I know her and I adore her. I would recommend her. But our exchange as people has been in a service capacity, in a business capacity. She has taken my courses. I have studied with her. I don't think she would be on my list, even though I think she likes me and thinks fondly of me and would refer people to me. And I would refer. I don't know if I could just go, hey, Ingrid, do you want to give me 50 bucks just for the hell of it? I want to build a new website, or I want to do something with my business. How about just donating money? That I would feel like that's, I don't think that, my guess would be it wouldn't land well with Ingrid. It would be confusing. And it would be like, well, what is our relationship? Now, if Ingrid had stayed at my house and I had like dog sat for her and we had taken some walks together and like talked about our, like if we had really gotten a personal relationship that was born out of our business relationship, which I could see might be possible with Ingrid, but we haven't done that yet. But if we had made that transition, then I might be like, maybe she'd be up for supporting me in this way. But what I would not want to happen with you, and I wouldn't want it to happen with me either, is to confuse my clients.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So I want you to have a clear line with people that you're just asking, because what you're really asking is just for angel, it's called an angel investor. In the tech world, yeah, angel investors do want a return, but really an angel investor is just like, I may never see a return on this money, or I'm not expecting you to pay me back. I just love you. Here's some money. So you're looking for angel investors into your herbalist business. And these angel investors don't have to be friends and family. It could be someone just with gobs of cash who, you know, is looking for a way to get rid of it. That's great. And you can certainly ask those people, but those are usually people who may not have ever been your client. People you don't want to muddy and get your, you want to protect the business of your business. So when you're asking for people to invest, you have to be clear, kind of like, who are they in relation to me? How might this request land with them? Even if they say no, someone saying no doesn't mean it didn't land well with them. When I say it doesn't land well, it's like confusing or weird. And maybe Ingrid be like, oh, now this feels weird and sticky and I'm going to say no to the $50, but now I don't want to refer. Is she going to do this with other people that I refer to her? Because I, you don't want that. You want the business to be nice and crisp and clear and clean. But so I would put your business people, like your clients, over here. But yeah, you may have people. Yeah, I'm glad. Okay, so I'm glad we're on the same page. But Sheila, you may have people in your life who would be willing to give you a chunk of change. Businesses sometimes need capital. They sometimes need an infusion of cash to get them over these periods. So this is not like weird. It's just, you're like, I am at a point in my business where I need an infusion of cash. And sometimes that comes at the beginning of businesses. And sometimes it comes when people want to scale to a new level and they just need some cash to do that. So there's nothing weird about this. I just want you to do it well so you get the result you want and your business is protected. So you might make a couple lists for yourself. Family members who might be willing to donate, friends who might have like bigger amounts of money to donate, and then the friends who might throw a little bit of cash your way. The other thing, and I have to say this because I always say it whenever I'm having a conversation with a client about these kinds of raising funds. I am of the opinion, it is one person's opinion, mine. I'm of the opinion that you get very few asks like this in life. And you want to make sure you blow it on the right thing. And you really just want to make sure this is what you want to ask for. And I think that you probably, if you ask for it for your business, it doesn't preclude you later on for asking it for your personal stuff. But I've seen people ask for this kind of like, help support me. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the right thing in your life to, I don't know if this is where you want to shoot your shot on this. So you want to get clear. And I don't care what your answer is. I have no judgment on your answer. You just want to be very aligned with like, I'm going to take this shot, even if it like means I can't take another one for quite some time. And that's different.
I have thought about that. And I think this is the one.
Okay.
This is the one shot that I would ask for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then when it comes to the registry question, like, I don't know, I've never used them before. You just want to make sure, like, are they going to take a piece of it? How big of a piece are they going to take?
Yeah.
How do you get the money? How, when do they release it to you? Is there a waiting period? Like, you want that money and you want as much of it as possible. Because otherwise, just do it through Zelle. Because then you get all the money. You know. So you have to ask yourself, like, does it need to be fancy like a site? Or can it just be like, I'm raising money. I have a private link if you're willing to be an angel investor. You know, wire me some funds. And then, you had a second question about asking for financial support from your family. You're like, it's hard, shame, rejection, judgment. Yeah, all of it. So is the family money thing for like your personal life? You just need, or is this for the investing in your business?
Ooh, they overlap a little bit, but it's mostly the, I think they overlap a lot.
Because it's like, you just want this money to create this space.
Yeah.
The way you want it to be. Okay. So where are you at in the decision to ask family members for money? Like, are you like, oh, I'm 20% thinking about it, but 80% like no, or 80% yes, 20%
65% there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it specific, you know, specific people you'd ask? And would you be asking them for different amounts? Like, how would that work in your particular family?
Yes, there are specific people that I would ask. Specific amounts is a little bit gray, a little nebulous.
Okay. So there's two things I can think of that I would want to like figure out inside of me and kind of figure out is like, what are the consequences if this person says no? How will I feel about that? How will it affect our Thanksgiving in the future? If I ask, they say no. And what is the consequences of this person saying yes? Are there going to be strings attached? Are they going to want input on what you should and shouldn't be doing? Like, are they just going to be all up in your business? And is it worth, because I know, talked to lots of clients where it was like, oh, that wasn't worth it. That wasn't worth it. So you have to be really clear with yourself on, is it going to be, how will this continue if they say no, but how will it continue with each particular person if they say yes? Because ideally you want someone who's just like, I love you. Here's some money. I will never talk about it again in your life. But those people are rare.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, versus getting a loan from a bank or getting, you know, getting a grant from another organization that gives like small women business owners grants. One place you should look, oh, what's it called? Women's Net. They do a monthly grant of $10,000 to women-owned businesses. You can just, it's like $15 to apply or something like that. Women's Net. If you can't find it online, shoot me an email or on the
Okay.
platform and I'll. But so there's like, how else can you get money?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fear of rejection, the judgment, the shaming, that is really about you going, how much of that could I handle? Should it come my way? And what resources do I have to help me handle that? Is it worth the money in the long run to have to handle that? Because I understand that you, it is very obvious to you how your business would be easier if you got a cash infusion. But if that cash doesn't come from the right person, it can make your business feel really awful because it's now attached to this other energy. It's just something to think about. And I just want to say that you had this big leap, you bought this space, you had this beautiful vision. Don't lose that. There's many ways to get to it. And what I'm saying here is not that, oh, well, you can't get to it. No, you can. I just want you to make the best choices. And I'd rather you make choices that still give you all the agency and lovely energy towards you and your business than make choices that just make it feel like, oh no, now it's weighed down and it feels like a weight. Rather than my beautiful vision, even if it takes you longer to get to the vision, I would like you to take longer with better energy than quicker with regret. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay, so
Thank
I've
you.
talked a lot. Is there anything I haven't covered that you kind of wanted to touch on?
No, I think this is good. A lot of what you've said touches on things that I have been thinking of. So it's good to bounce it off somebody else and hear somebody
Yeah.
else say that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And congratulations. That's a big, huge ordeal to have a house and to be like, I'm gonna fix it up, and that's amazing. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Cora never came back. Did you know you're here, Cora? I keep missing your phone. Hi, are you back, Cora?
Here, I'm here. Yeah, I'm so
Okay,
sorry.
great.
My phone,
That's okay.
overheated.
What was the last thing you remember me
You
saying?
were focusing on me addressing their pain points rather than
Yes.
their needs.
Yes. So you want to go in and be like, when you're introducing yourself, hi, I'm Cora. I'm the solution for people who are experiencing this problem, or this problem. Because what you want are the people in the room to go, oh my God, that's me. That's it. And it's like, if you need this, and I'm going to say something, and I don't want it to dishearten you.
No.
But you're selling websites. Your website needs work to sell websites.
Yes, I am
Okay.
very aware.
Okay. It might be better for you to put up a splash page.
Right.
It's just like, hey, I love your logo. Front and center, that logo is fantastic. Your fabulous picture that you have on it. I'm actually sprucing up my own, website. Here's the link to get in contact. And I help people with this problem, and this problem, and a link that opens up to an email.
Okay.
Because the difficulty is that if you are selling people websites, your website has to look great. My website doesn't have to look great because I'm not selling websites. It has to have no red flags and cause people concern. Like, can't look crazy.
Yeah.
But your website, and right now, when I have like it open across my browser, the text goes from margin to margin and the sentences like go all the way across, plus your text is center justified. So yeah, it's just really hard to read. So there's a
Yes, I'm very
lot.
aware. I'm literally in the process of editing.
So you're not going to get it there by Tuesday. So put up a splash page. And you don't even have to say my site's under construction. Just coding by Cora, your fabulous picture. Hey, so glad you looked me up. I specialize in working with this and this and this. Here's the link where we can get in touch, contact or a contact form, however you want to do that. That's the best thing you can do for yourself for Tuesday. And don't remove that page until you have a website that is like, oh wow, I want her to do my website. Okay. And you have and when you do work, once you have work for other people, that's fantastic. That's like, oh, wow. Then you can post links to their work on that splash page. You can do a lot of work with people with just having the splash page.
Right, I was just thinking
Because,
that.
yeah. And the other thing is the things you have on your homepage. I know you have like, hey, I do this and this, but you're like web developer, associate project manager. This is the stuff I do. It's like there needs to be more storytelling on your website of like, I see you, I know your problems, I can help you with the problems. They can go to another page to look up exactly what you do, but nobody you're working with understands any of this dev tools, JavaScript language. Like that's what they're paying to never know. They don't, everyone know that. So that's the last thing they want to see. They want a web person, a tech person who will speak to them in language, in their language. And so that's going to be your, challenge. Every website has like a challenge that needs to happen. And for tech people, the challenge is you can't talk to people in tech. Coaches can't talk to people in all coachy language. Because that's not what people are buying. So, splash page before the event. And then at the event, whatever's easiest for you to make. If it's easier just to print out on your printer at home, like half sheets, half a sheet of paper that has, but you want to think it doesn't have to be filled with details. The purpose of a brochure is for someone to go contact you. The purpose of you handing out anything is so that you'll make a contact. And so it could just have the problems. Like it could be in quotes. My website project keeps moving further and further down my to-do list. If I'm walking by a table and that's in big bold on a half a sheet of paper, I'm like, oh, wait. And then it says, turn over. I can help. Oh, then I pick up that piece of paper and I turn it over. Hi, I'm Cora. This is a problem. Like you could just do three types of handouts that have three problems in big bold graphic, like what? Like that take up the whole paper. You want to make it interesting and compelling, but the point is you want people to pick up the paper, flip it over, and go, oh, there's a girl named Cora who can help me with this specific problem. That kind of thing will probably get you the most bang for your buck. And the reason I want it to be big and graphic and not on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, because you don't want it to be standard. You want it to be a unique little size. And you want it so that if I'm standing kind of a couple feet away from a table, I might still be able to read it. I don't have to have it right in front of my face to read it. I could spot it across a room or on a table. You know what I mean? And then the thing I want you to spend the most time on before Tuesday is how am I going to introduce myself? If I stand up and get to speak to all of these people in the room, what needs to come out of my mouth to get people to want to talk to me. That's the thing. And it's all about their problems. I am so glad everybody's here today. I'm going to make this short and sweet. I know that there are a few of you sitting here today that are thinking one of three things. I can help you with all of that. Let's get the websites off the ground. Let's get your pitch material. Let's get your pitch deck. I can do that. Come talk to me. I'm lower than my prices. Cannot be beat. That's all you need to say. My name's Cora. Pain point. I can solve that for you at a price that can't be beat. My name's Cora. Come talk to me.
Thank you.
Now, don't even say that you're a web developer or web designer. People don't, like I said, I was confused. What are the different? Don't get into the language. Do you have this problem? I know somebody in the, a few of you in this room have this problem. This problem? Like, use your performance skills. Or what about this problem? Oh, okay. I can solve all of those problems. I am the person you've been praying for, and my prices cannot be beat. My name is Cora. Come talk to me. Maybe that's the reason you're here today, to meet me. You got to have that sales energy. You got to have that leadership energy. People are also giving you money to like lead them through this project because Lord knows they're not able to do it. And if you put forth that energy and you're fun and you're like, my prices can't be beat, come to the boom. And then you need to have a package. You need to have, this is the amount of money to start this project, and then it's $60 an hour. We lay down $1,000, we start this project, it's $60 an hour, depending on what you want for the site, you know, we can look at your budget and blah, 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 but you know, yeah, it can't just be hour by hour by hour.
Yeah.
And this is what you get. So for Tuesday, splash page, practice giving that little speech that I just gave you, and what's my package? And it doesn't have to be for, it's for this rate for the website and this rate. It's like, to work with me, we're going to need at least 10 hours. For every new client that works with me, my onboarding package is $1,000. We're going to talk about your project. We're going to have a timeline. We're going to we'll work with your budget. Like So people are just very clear. And you don't have to say that. Unless you're asked, unless you get into one of those, you don't have to, but don't get into the weed converse. Don't let your conversations at this event drill down into the weeds. Go, let me get your email and we'll set up a time to talk, because you want to go from person to person to person to person. You don't want to have this long conversation trying to answer all their fucking questions in the middle of a networking event. That, I love that you have so many questions. Let's set up a time to talk. I'll answer them all. Let me get your email. You need to get their email. Are you still there? Cora? Okay. So anyway, I'll just say the last bit and then she can listen. So for everybody listening, when you're in an event like this, don't think because you've handed out your card or you've handed out a flyer, it's like, they have my number, they'll call me. It's like, the best thing you can do is say, let me get your email and we'll set up a time to talk. So at least you're holding the ball in your court a little bit longer. Ingrid. Okay. I just want to say for everybody, if you need to leave, I understand. That's our time for today. I'm going to stay on with Ingrid just to answer her question, and you're welcome to stay and listen, and I'll keep the recording going. What's up, Ingrid?
Hi. Thank
Hi.
You. It's been so long. I totally forgot to submit beforehand. But I actually do have two things. And it may take longer than what we have. The first thing is, I am putting together a new business. I really, really have been missing singing. And several things occurred where, first of all, my aunt passed in the past year, and she had it in her will that I would sing a particular psalm for her celebration. And, I'm the person that has sung at everybody's weddings, everybody's celebrations of life. And as a matter of fact, just very quickly, as I was going through music today, I lost my contact information for a friend of mine because my phone died a number of years ago. And I sang at her wedding at Riverside Church years ago. And so, the idea is I want to put some clips together, make a simple website, and start, having a place to direct people. When I decided I wanted to do this, I was getting my teeth worked on, and my dental hygienist said, "Oh, I knew that she was very close with her mom, and she passed, and my condolences." And I said, "Oh, I'm actually singing for my aunt's celebration." And she said, "Oh my God, would you sing at my mom's funeral?" It did
Woo!
not work out for that. But then when I went back to complete the teeth work, she said, "Oh, actually, my relatives own some of the biggest Mexican restaurants, like that everybody knows in this area, and I will definitely recommend you. You have such a heart. You have such a soul. Whatever." And I actually sang for her in the chair so she could hear. I mean, just because I just did. So, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking maybe this is a longer conversation than just the last few minutes of your time here today. And I guess my question, I guess I just wanted to tell you that this is something I want to do, and I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or advice.
Okay, so based on all the stuff you've ever heard me say, what do you think, aside from a website? Again, you don't need like start small, the website, you just copy the website you have now, but duplicate that and just use the same format. That's all you need. So you need a one-page website. What else do you need?
Well, I want to have clips on there. So I'm meeting with an accompanist, record a few things.
What else do you need?
Well, I need to just start telling people about it.
So funnel people to
Okay.
send,
Oh,
connect
excuse
you.
me. Oh yeah, right, of course. I already have the idea of going to funeral homes and churches and
Exactly.
educating to people. Yeah, like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So once I have that in place, that's what I want to do. Oh, this is, and so yeah, and I don't know if I just maybe use my name, or I don't know if I should get fancy and say my website name, or anyway, I guess it'll all come.
It's all going to come together just like your
Yeah.
other thing all came together. You
Thank
don't
you.
need a fancy name.
Yeah.
What do you have for your website name, your URL right now?
I changed it to Vocal Freedom with Ingrid.
Right. So, it can be anything. Music from the heart with Ingrid, singing
I
from the
love
heart
that.
with Ingrid, like whatever you want.
Yeah.
You also need your pricing.
Yes.
How
Yes.
much are you going to charge?
Yes. Yeah.
And you
And
can go ahead.
no, I have to figure that out. My original thing was, oh yeah, like $250 per gig. And then I was like, oh gosh, I'm assuming that they have a pianist there, but they may not. So I have to figure out how does that work. And so I'm not sure about
Okay.
that.
So you're going to need a pianist.
Yeah.
Two. So that you always have a backup.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if
Yeah.
you're going to be in charge of the pianist, that you got to show up with a pianist.
Okay.
Okay. So you get your person and you figure out what they need money-wise. Let's just pretend they need $100. Then you charge 150 for the add-on pianist. You charge a little bit more because you're going through all the hassle of scheduling and all that stuff. Okay. Then there's a price if they're using a song from your repertoire. And you can just have someone make a link. It would say, are you, if you're this price, if you're using a song from my repertoire, they click the link on the website and it opens up into just a PDF page that lists the songs. That's a very easy technical thing to make happen. Okay, so if you want me to learn a new piece of music, it's this much money. And those prices are for travel to north, south, east, west, like how far? And then if it's outside of LA County, like however you want to put your boundaries, then I charge this extra fee for travel. Because if someone wants you to go down to Laguna, I mean, I live in Glendale, so Laguna would be a hike. It would be outside the normal range. You kind of want to kind of go like an hour in each direction. And of course, in LA, it's hard because an hour is about the time of day, not the not the miles. But you just guess. So those are the components you need. This is how much extra for the thing, learning a new song versus something I already know, travel. Okay.
Cool, thank you.
So for everybody, what those components that we just listed with Ingrid, you need a way for people to find you online and be able to contact you. It can be a website. In Cora's case, it's just going to be a splash page. You can, if you don't even want to pay for a website, you can go to about.me, which is a resource listed in the Creating Cashflow program, and you get a free little splash page, and you can have your little picture on it, and you can kind of describe what you do, and it just has a little place, and they'll link, and then they can open an email and send it. That's like the easiest, cheapest thing. I just need to be able, you need to be able to give me a URL, and I need to be able to type it into a computer so that I can then figure out how to contact you. That's all that needs to happen. And a way for, to collect money. But that doesn't have to be on a website. That can be just separate, you do via email. So you need contact, a way to contact. Then you need evidence of competency, which is I can actually do this thing. I've done it for other people. Like, so that could be testimonials. It could be, as Ingrid is saying, like a little demo of your stuff. That actually is the fourth thing. The evidence of competency is like the fourth, because if a lot of businesses run by word of mouth, and that's the evidence of competency. So there's lots of different kinds of ways to prove it. And by the way, if let's just say you did the about.me and you had a splash page and there was no way to put a video link up there, when someone sends you an email to inquire, just go, thank you so much for inquiring. Here's my rates. Oh, and here's a link to my thing I posted on YouTube that shows you, like you can do it in other ways. Okay. Way to contact you, evidence of competency, funnel people. Funnel people, as I say in the Cashflow course, not people who may ever be your client, but people who can send other people to you, hopefully multiple people. Funeral home directors for Ingrid, perfect. Wedding coordinators, ch actual churches, all that stuff. And then your prices. You have to figure out your packages. You have to figure out what you're going to charge so that if someone comes your way and says, hey, you have that already. If you have those four things, and by the way, you can do all of that basically for free. If you have those four things, you can start to create cash flow, money you're coming your way. Ingrid, I think this is a fabulous idea. You have such a big heart, and you're just such a person, as I've told you personally when I was working with you. Ingrid has just a great way to create space, and that's what they're doing. Okay. Oh, the fifth thing. But this is the fifth thing. So you have all four of those things. But the fifth thing I want you to think about, Ingrid, is why you? There's 20 other singers. Why you? This is where you do the sizzle. This is where you are taking that person who's considering you and shifting their perspective so they're thinking about this. Because what people are thinking about is like, we need a singer. We need someone. And it's like, oh no, you don't just need a singer. You need someone who can create the texture of space at this very special event.
Yes.
You want someone who isn't bringing any drama,
Yeah.
who's there for you, who has the maturity and the experience and the professionalism to have this go off without a hitch, because that's what people want. They're not thinking of that in the, and they're like, please don't be psycho. Please don't make this all fuck up. Like, think of what they're worried about, and then say, yeah, another thing that you bring to the table is experience. Oh, this is what you really bring to experience, because it's not just I'm experienced, because all 20 singers, except for four, so 16 singers are going to be like, I'm experienced. But what you can say is, what my experience assures you is that I'm not thrown by a new space. Some singers are used to singing in a particular environment, but I have sung all over the world and the blah, 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 what you have. Now you've performed all, you can say performed, because then it's not even just singing. I have performed all over the world in so many different spaces. So I will be comfortable wherever I am. So these now are four things that if I'm comparing wedding singer people or funeral people, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go with her because she's now pointing out things I wasn't even thinking of, but that I actually do care about. That's sizzle. Ingrid is not saying the steak. I have this much octave. I've been doing this for 27. All those details, nobody cares. They care that you understand what they want, what their pain point is. It's like, we need a singer. We want it to be someone who just reminds us, you know, of mom's loving heart and can do this song really beautifully and not bring drama and just do it if she's stuck in a weird corner.
Yeah, cool.
So that's what your website is basically saying to them. And Kate, hold on. I know you're looking for a singer. And I know that this is the kind of singer you want. Someone who ba ba ba, someone who ba ba ba, someone who ba ba ba. That's me. Kate?
Yeah, I just wanted to offer a refinement. I've sung all over the world and I will be comfortable. I was just thinking to shift that to, and therefore I can create beautiful music wherever you are.
Oh, that's perfect.
So it's a little more focused on them than focused on her comfort, just a little refinement.
Yeah. Excellent refinement.
Great.
Do it, do it, do it, Ingrid.
Yay. Cool. Thank you so
Yay.
much.
I love it.
Thank you so
I love
much
that you're
for
feeding
going
your
over.
performer soul.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Very quickly, I am going to do a complimentary vocal workshop at the end of September. Is the website a place where I can mention that?
You mean the Abundance Bound platform?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, baby. And you can say, if anybody, needs to know how awesome I am, just ask Christine.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. So,
Yeah.
thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for sticking with us, everybody.
So
See
much,
you
and
in
thank you, everybody.
2 weeks.
Thanks, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Kate.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Hi, Trisha.